coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
That, you know, I was, I was saying before that I am hopeful for the country, because it's kind of like I keep saying that if you said to George Washington in 1776, hey, how's it going? He wouldn't say, hey, we're crushing it. It's great. He would say, we are in a battle for liberty, and it is brutal and it doesn't look good. But if Providence be for us and we continue to fight, we may prevail. And that's kind of how I feel about America right now. I feel like we are in a pitched battle, really a war for everything, for all the marbles, for liberty on the American model.
Boy, I got to do housekeeping before I turn my mic on here. Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, August 9th, 2023. I have a lot to get into. Just a few of the top headlines right now. There's new security video coming out. I don't know whether you've seen this or heard about this, that really flies in the face of the January 6th Unselect Committee, okay? Challenges the narrative on the first man to die at the Capitol on January 6th during that Fed's erection. I'm not going to play that for you. You can find it out there. There's stories about that out there. Now, more and more people are coming to the front and saying, look, we've got to start impeachment proceedings on Biden. Others are saying we've got to start impeachment proceedings on Mayorkas, on and Merrick Garland, and that is so important. The biggest impediment against these proceedings are not the Republicans. We have the majority in the House. It's the Rhino Republicans. Just today, GOP Rep. Greg Staub said it's long past time to start Biden impeachment process. Now, with respect to that, you've got a man in the White House. 55%. Let me just make sure my numbers are correct. The latest poll. You've really got to remember this, or think about this. The latest poll, yeah, I'll get there. Here it is, right here. As of early this morning, 55%. Well, with respect to Biden's actions, with respect to Ukraine, 55% of the U.S. don't support any more Ukrainian aid, yet Congress and Biden, specifically at the hands of Biden, they're pushing for that. The dissatisfaction with our economic status right now is at an all-time low. The dissatisfaction overall is at an all-time low. As a matter of fact, if you take the Jimmy Carter era, that Biden's level of the people's level of dissatisfaction. You remember the misery index with Carter? Our misery index is much, much higher, meaning that Biden's support is much lower. So the left, the communist left, they've got a problem. They've got to get rid of Biden before the 2024 election. Meanwhile, with every indictment, and yet another indictment is coming up against President Trump by Jack Smith, as well as one percolating in Fulton County with Fannie Willis, with every indictment, his agency is rising, and it is just absolutely blowing the minds of the communist left, the pundits, the media, the politicians. and even the rhinos. Okay. Because no one wants President Trump in office. Now look, I read the comments, I read the emails, and there are so many people who cannot get over the fact that President Trump pushed the woke pokes, the jabs, the injecticide, the so-called vaccine. Okay, I get that. I get that. Okay, so tell me who we're going to pick. DeSantis? DeSantis is a company man, okay? He's doing a good job as governor of Florida. But he's really tanking. His campaign is tanking. So who do we have from this pool of electable candidates? Well, you've got one person, you got Donald Trump. And I fully understand people out there saying, well, again, I can't get over this, the fact that he hasn't or that he's still pumping the you know. He's not so much doing that. If you watch him at his rallies and stuff, he's not talking too much about that. I don't know if he's been counseled on it or what, but he is not really saying, hey, we were the number one. If it wasn't for us, you wouldn't have had that vaccine. I haven't heard him say that at rallies. Maybe he did. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. I try to go through everything I possibly can. But here's the thing. If the deep state wants to, including the rhinos, want to get rid of him, want him not to run, want to kill him, then in this particular case, the hand that we are dealt, I'll take that. I'll take that over anyone else, okay? And remember, God uses imperfect rulers, and God puts people in that position. It's up to God in terms of leadership of countries, of nations. And by the way, Eric Metaxas, we opened up with Eric Metaxas. We are in right now the fight for our republic, for the survival of our republic. So there's many things, many battles taking place simultaneously. You've got, like I said, some of the headlines. You've got you've got the potential impeachment, but will it go anywhere? That's the thing. Will there be any accountability held against Biden? No. If the history books, if there are history books, are written, will they hold Biden, responsible for the deaths of many, from Ukraine to the United States, from Afghanistan, the incredibly horrific Afghanistan pullout? Okay. And the fact that we just surrendered all this equipment to our enemies to be used against us. Will he be held accountable for that? There is a greater split today, or as great of a split today, I would argue, than there was in 1860, late 1850s, early 1860s, even at the start of the Civil War. I think there are many people who have dug in their heels and are ready to fight at this point. And we're going to be getting into that as well. There's a few other things that really need to be known. Of course, you have, speaking of Ukraine, and we'll talk about this as well, the America Last, of course. Biden's billions for Ukraine could have built a wall twice across the U.S.-Mexican border. Okay, think about that. It's Ukraine first, America last. I would much rather have somebody in there saying America first, and everyone else can pound sand until we get our act together. And speaking of that, I want to mention that and we're beginning in this as well. I find it very interesting to note that the Unselect Committee, as I mentioned, of January 6th, they illegally destroyed their records and documents that could have been accessible to President Trump to defend himself against the charges by Jack Smith. And this was done intentionally. And then we have the disclosure, and I've been saying this for three years and four months. The Biden crime family, they have received over $20 million from foreign oligarchs for their influence peddling, I will say, who also had dinners with then Vice President Biden. I think Cafe Mocha in D.C., at least two dinners. We're going to be hearing about that as well. More and more people are dropping dead from the clot, the woke poke, clot shot, the injecticide, whatever. We've seen, of course, LeBron James' son, cardiac arrest. Dr. Peter McCullough has spoken about that ad nauseum. We've seen the stories about the young athletes dropping dead. One 18-year-old pole vaulter died suddenly. We've seen a healthy South Carolina sheriff who died suddenly. Again, these are victims of a democide, the likes of which we have not seen in recent times. Perhaps the Stalin purge and the Maoist starvation and murders. Castro and things like that. What we're seeing here with this is a little bit different. And this is something that I would like everyone to think about. You've seen some arguments within the within the real media about, well, this brand of this vaccine, and I'm using the word vaccine as they would use it. This vaccine doesn't have hydrogel or whatever component that's of controversy. This one does. So we found no evidence of graphite, graphene oxide in our studies. Yet someone else over here says, "Oh, wait a second, we found evidence of self-assembling nanoparticles." And when you come right down to it, from an investigative standpoint, and I've been looking at this for really for a number of months, when you come down to it, the only way to accomplish this and not get caught, if you want to commit a crime and don't get caught, you've got to vary your MO. You've got to create different scenarios. You've got to divert. And actually, it's a strategy of distraction, as well as the cabal of corruption working together. You've got to be able to provide plausible deniability. And that's what this group, this cabal of globalists have done within the medical, industrial, pharmaceutical community. This is exactly what they've done. They have created different batches, different lots with different components. Some batches completely inert, some with a level of components, and I've gone over this with three different doctors and two different scientists. Some with components that will kill you quickly, and other batches, lots, whatever, that with components that'll take a while. And then, of course, like I said, there's some inert stuff out there. So when you look at it, there's never any kind of when you look at the components of the jab and the boosters as well. However, the boosters are a little bit different, I believe, based on research and conversation with the physicians. And those who have the ability to look into what's in there, the bottom line there, I think, is an increase in the deadly components. So if you're out there listening to this, you might have been lucky and not gotten the bad batch, if you will, or unlucky and, of course, experiencing problems now. or will experience problems down the road. But please wake up, wake your friends up, do the research. I'm working on a report, but I wanted to source this with the scientists, the two scientists I'm working with, and the two medical doctors, the three medical doctors. So at least I sound coherent, but from my investigative point of view. Okay, so, but I think that really, the depopulation agenda is part of, again, you're looking at all of these events that serve as this strategy of distraction away from the bigger picture. And what's the bigger picture? It's this globalist takeover. It's the fact that they're trying to cut all farming. Yes, all farming. You can't farm. Look what's going on in the Netherlands. You cannot use fertilizer, urea, nitrates and stuff. You can't use that. No. And they're starving. At least they're going to start. We're going to have enough food next year for 8 billion people, right? Or 4 billion people. The problem is we've got 8 billion population. So half the world's going to starve. But every country is not going to be impacted equally. Obviously, the third world is going to be hurt worse, and the useless eaters, as they call them, will go down. Then you've got the, as I mentioned yesterday, the tick-borne illnesses, or the tick-borne allergy, if you will, or you get bitten by a certain tick, or a tick with a certain chimeric. I'll use the word virus, and I know the controversy behind that. You get bit by a certain tick, or a tick with a certain virus, you will become allergic, or you will have the inability to process beef. Okay, you think that's an accident? That had to be a chimeric laboratory-made a substance that was infested or input into the wildlife, okay, that in order for that to take place. We're seeing more and more of that in the Midwest. I mentioned this yesterday. I mentioned also, I think John mentioned the fact that some of that very same substance is or has been found in the injections. So what is taking place on the larger scale is the people who are behind this power structure do not, they absolutely do not want life to ever go back to normal, and they're really pushing forward with respect to making sure that our lives are changed forever, and that they will be our overlords. And that's where AI comes in. That's where the Neuralink comes in. And as an aside, I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't trust Elon Musk at all. Okay, I don't believe he's got. There's something going on with Elon Musk, and I just don't. I don't trust him, not in the least, because of course his work with the Neuralink projects, his advocacy for the Internet of Things, and again, I'm using some pretty vanilla language here. Okay, non-specific things, so people can kind of get the bigger picture as opposed to digging down and getting into the weeds. So I don't believe that the left has a viable candidate for 2024. In closing, before I bring Randy Taylor on and we talk about all of these things, I don't believe that the left has a viable candidate for 2024. I think that most people realize that the lack of support for Biden is insurmountable, that they cannot get past that. So they're going to have to sacrifice Biden in some way, shape, or form. And I don't know what that's going to look like. It could be, and I've talked to other broadcasters about this, and I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, that there could be some sort of violent attempt on his life, or a violent takedown of Biden, and even potentially Harris, and that will be blamed on the right-wing conservative Christians. It'll be like a January 6th setup times 20,000, okay? Or it could be something as simple as him just going quietly into the night, which I just don't see that latter part happening. So they've got to get rid of Biden, and they've got to put someone else in play. And Joel Gilbert was on this program, and I've spoken with others, including but not limited to people like Roger Stone. And I've got to say this. I'm beginning to think that Michelle Obama might emerge as a potential candidate on the left for the continuation of Obama's fourth and fifth term in this country. That's what they want. They want someone who's going to play that card, because Newsom is a white guy, middle-aged white guy, and that just doesn't play straight white guy. That's just not going to play too well. So all of this combined, and the question is, will we even have an election, given the fact that the clip I played late yesterday, which is in yesterday's program description box at HagmanPI.com, also puts out the fact that, hey, wait a second, Dr. Jan, I don't recall her last name, working for the Department of Defense and U.S. Space Force, saying, look, they've got all of the documentation, all of the evidence that this election was rigged. Well, what kind of documentation could you possibly have if you're in that capacity within the Department of Defense? Well, it would be foreign interference, electronic foreign interference, I would suspect. But I don't know. But it's certainly worth looking at and seeing, well, you know, could it be now, if we do have an election, this documentation might come into play and work in our favor? Or is that just all smoke and mirrors? I don't know. But it's out there for you to decide, because you folks, look, you've got working brains. You've got the ability to go through all of this and say, yeah, this sounds good or this doesn't sound good. But you folks are smarter than the average bear, I believe, who watch and listen and support this program. And what we try to do is talk to and show you the best of the best, kind of condense everything down so we don't impose upon bring five people into the program and, you know, wreck their days and their times saying something they've already said. So that's why we play the videos and then comment on them. So anyway, that's where we're at. It's a big news day, and a couple of deep dives, including, listen to this, you know, the Obama body count. This links to Biden. We're going to be talking about Obama's chef, and he had evidence to concerning Pizzagate, which was definitely, look, Pizzagate was real, is real, but misrepresented by people on the left, people as well as people on the right. And, of course, uncovered or mocked by the legacy media. So there's some details released about his personal chef that we need to get into, do a little bit of a deep dive. And then, of course, the deep state war against President Trump, as I referenced earlier, the fact that the documents were destroyed, and some weigh-in by Roger Stone here on this as well. And then, as I mentioned briefly, Ukraine. You know what? Zelensky is getting on the last nerve of pretty much everybody and is losing support. There was an assassination attempt, I think one of 29? Okay. And we want to get into that too. So anyway, I'm going to bring in right now Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor, RT@HagmanPI.com. Randy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, buddy. It doesn't sound like the rest of the world is doing very good, but I managed to make it to the show today.
Yeah,
I didn't know if that would happen. Okay, it was one of those things where, when you wake up, dog's crapped all over the house because he's sick. Then I get in the shower and I fall in the shower, and then I was getting dressed for the show and I looked at my necktie and I said, "I'm not even going to try that."
No, don't do that.
Well, the way my morning was going, they'd have found me hung somewhere.
Well, you know, you could have called and said, "Hey, look, you know what? Not today. No, I ain't feeling it today."
But brother, there is no place I'd rather be, and you know that.
You know, it's. I have to say this because I know the feeling. You know, you wake up, you do the show prep. Sometimes it just doesn't come together. Then all of a sudden, yeah, like dogs, you know, you've situations happen with dogs. You break a plate, you know, you step on a piece of glass, you back through the garage. Don't ask about that.
We've all had them days, baby.
Yeah, and you're thinking, I don't know if I can even do this. So, but you know, it shows that we're all people, and the fact that you okay though you fell.
Oh yeah, and I'm here with the people I love, man. So you know what, I'm having a good day. If I don't care if I had to walk here on crutches, I'd be happy to be here.
Well, okay,
all right. No place I'd rather be.
Well, I'm glad to have you.
And there's so much going on. It comes at you, bam, bam, bam. And like in the article I mentioned, you know, when they make a move versus distraction, and there's the real fun part, trying to figure out what was the actual move and what did they use for distraction? You know, were you paired up properly?
Exactly. You were right.
You know,
right.
And that's kind of when so many things hit you at once, you actually kind of have to step back and I'll write them down on paper and go, okay, boom, boom. These were designed to cover this.
Well, and I think one big template for distraction can be this.
Yes, sir.
Biden, the wire. Okay, if you work backwards, the wire transfers between Hunter Biden and some oligarchs in Romania, Russia, China, you know, that comes into that's disclosed. Bam. After that, there's an indictment against President Trump. And you can go back in time and see every time that there is something that reveals the criminality of the Biden or O'Biden crime family, there's always something that follows up to cover what was done. And this is the MO of criminal. I'll tell you what, you know, at least in I know what you've worked, and in my case too. I mean, you know, the criminality, criminals have a certain MO, and these globals have this MO.
And they seem to a criminal pretty much stays with that MO too.
Yeah,
that's how they end up getting bagged, because the police study that, and boom, okay, he's going to pull it again. You know, and they can line it up with previous crimes. But,
yeah,
you know, we're, there's so much going on right now and so much being thrown in the face of the American people and the Canadian people. It's just, it can be overwhelming, but folks, don't. And I know some people get really tense. I see it in the emails. Don't, because then they win. Okay, don't get tense. We're going to get through this. Well, I don't know how much blood's going to have to be shed, but we're going to get through this. What you were saying about Biden, because I had mentioned him dying in his sleep. I would agree with you, Doug, that they'll quite possibly go with a false flag. And reason being, so they can blame the right. And kind of under that strategy of tension we were talking about before, you know, to where it was such horrific and awful that they'll want to go after guns, or they're gonna use it to aid their agenda. And the other thing, try and gain sympathy for the Democrats by being those bad guys on the right, which, you know, if you just vote as a conservative, then automatically you're a white supremacist. So, you know, of course we're gonna get blamed when something happens to Biden. You know what? If he dies in his sleep, somehow they're gonna blame us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we created too much tension that day. The poor guy died in his sleep. You know, like, come on.
Well,
you know, he's got one foot in the grave and another on a banana peel every day.
Yeah. And his, you can watch his cognitive decline. Yep. you know, when he, now yesterday I played, if you didn't catch yesterday's show, that's fine. I played some Gold Star in California. Representative Daryl Issa had some Gold Star families out of the 13 that were murdered by that bomber in Afghanistan. And now the U.S. military had that man in their rifle sights. They could have taken him out. The order was never given. Yep. This rests on Biden. What they didn't tell the people is Biden went to, and now this preceded, of course, what I'm talking about, but subsequent to that Afghan just total mess up. I want to use another word there, but I won't.
Snafu.
That's not the word I was thinking. But anyway,
it's in there.
Yeah, it's all of that. Yeah, it is. Folks, you know what snafu stands for, right? Anyway, okay, so he went to a military hospital, and this guy, one of the soldiers, brave soldiers, who was at the bombing, lost his right arm, okay, and his left arm was in a total cast. And so Biden walks over to the bed and goes, and I'm not making this up, goes to shake his hand. And the guy looks at him and says, I don't have an arm. So again, the cognitive decline and the disassociation and the callousness
is an embarrassment.
Exactly.
I can't stand him.
So then Biden reaches over and touches, and this is firsthand knowledge. I mean, this is by the soldier who was there. Reaches over and touches his fingers on his left hand. And the wife, seeing this, the soldier's wife seeing this, really got nasty with Biden. And started shouting at him, essentially saying, you know, you're going to have to take care of him now. You can't just toss him like used garbage on the street, and on and on. So Biden leaned down into the soldier's face, you know, inches from his face, and says, well, what do you want? That's the kind of guy we have. And you know what? This is the stuff that doesn't make the mainstream media. Go ahead.
You know what? The guy is so out of touch with the American people. I actually have been looking a lot. Anytime you see him in a tape or anything, they've got to be using body doubles. Faces don't line up.
We know there's at least three more.
Yeah. So you know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, all of them are asses. You know, even the ones that are brought into body double form have to act stupid just to be like him. It's a pretty sad job, but
what instructions would you give?
What would you give them? Okay, act like Joe Biden. The guy's like, really?
Man, this is the worst role of my life. Okay,
you know, and this I keep looking at this war in Ukraine. This is NATO wanting to go after Russia, paint Russia as the boogeyman. That all boils down to one thing, ladies and gentlemen. Vladimir Putin is against the New World Order and the globalists. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
He's against them, and he's going to stand his ground.
Let's start with Ukraine, because what we're facing right now, the bigger picture. Here's the big picture. We've got Russia, you've got China and Iran all allied together. They have come together for their own interests, but for combined collective interests as well, but against the United States. And when you toss in, of course, the entirety of the BRICS nations for the economic impact, you've got a situation where Putin is going against the U.S. because why? Well, we poked him in the eye, and we've been poking him in the eye from Victoria Nuland forward in Ukraine. Okay, from the Maidan Revolution. And this is why, we're beginning in this too. This is why this is directly related to Obama and every one of his people that he brought in, whether it's the lowest judge or whether it's the highest cabinet appointment. Okay, but anyway, so Ukraine. If you can pull up the unnumbered page under Ukraine, America Last, Biden's Billions for Ukraine. I mentioned this. Thank you very much. This is on Breitbart. Think about this. Biden's Billions for Ukraine could have built a wall two times across the U.S.-Mexican border. I mean, just think about that and think about America Last. I mean, say what you will about Donald Trump, but oh my goodness. And also, since the start, and think about this, folks, since the start of the war in 2022, and you can take this to the bank, you could take this home to your family, you could tell your coworkers about this, because it involves the left, the right, the center, the morons, the intellectual Mensa people. Okay, since the start of the war in 2022, Congress has approved more than $113 billion in aid for Ukraine. And Biden is expected to ask for another $10 billion and package, or aid package, when Congress returns from recess. Since 2022, the U.S. has given more foreign aid to Ukraine than to any other country in the world, according to a Washington Post analysis. That's not me saying that. That's Washington Post. Randy Taylor, your thoughts?
I would say that somewhere in there, there's a kickback.
Oh, 10% for the big guy, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's this whole thing in Ukraine, we just should have stayed out of it.
Yes,
it's gonna lead to problems that we cannot handle. I'll tell you right now, we cannot take on China and Russia. We cannot. We don't have the military capability.
No, we don't have the weaponry.
We don't have the manpower, the weaponry.
No,
none of it. That's a stupid move to provoke these people into that alliance. And that's because of stupid moves in the U.S. and in NATO. NATO countries. I wish I have no faith in NATO anymore. You know what? After Libya, I don't believe NATO as far as I could spit. You know, when we were watching NATO tanks going in and with Al Qaeda flags on them.
Yeah,
that right there told me everything I needed to know about NATO.
And really, what was NATO formed? And what was the reason NATO was formed? And that was to fight against the Soviet Union, which is no longer, and of course, the distinction.
Yeah, they had the Warsaw Pact, and we had the NATO.
Right.
And they dissolved the Warsaw Pact, and it was just, you know, it was just splitting up the table is all it was doing. But I just know that we're pushing. Joe Biden has gotten us in a lot of trouble.
Well, people aren't digging deep enough on this. Obama, I mean, we can go all the way back to World War II, but Obama really had his fingers in the Ukrainian pie long before Biden did, and then appointed Biden as the point person for Ukraine, and we saw what happened there, right? So, okay.
Yep. And we don't. And in previous presidents to that, we just don't know.
Well,
you know, the more we dig, the more you find out.
So what is the status at this point? And this is clip number one under Ukraine. There's two segments here. There's segment A and segment B under clip number one. Harnwell appeared with Steve Bannon. Ukraine foils an attempt on President Zelensky, but who is really behind it? Now they're okay.
Probably his own people.
And watch and listen, because everything with respect to Ukraine, you know how the virtue signaling with the flags and
yes.
Okay. Here's the thing, you know,
it's so precious.
Thing.
Yeah.
The thing. Here's the thing. If there would be a spark, and I've always said World War III is going to start in Syria, I believe that, but Ukraine has that capability as well. It could move to Ukraine. So if we're looking at that, what would it take? And by the way, Ukraine is the hub for child sex trafficking, for money laundering, for everything dirty by the globalists. Okay,
so, arms dealing,
absolutely.
It's huge.
Okay, so let's look at this now. The current status of Zelensky, because you've been seeing, I think we have been seeing Zelensky kind of being left like a child, like a toddler standing alone among world leaders. And we're seeing that now. Now, all of a sudden, we're hearing about, and this is a programmed maneuver. We're hearing about, 29 assassination attempts against Zelensky? I guess 30, you know, what's another one? But there's something different happening in the power structure with Ukraine, and I do believe that they're trying now their best to create this situation to either cause us to go to war or to make us forget about everything that's happened and say, never mind. So either one, I don't know which it might be, but
bear in mind, Zelensky has been part of the dirty dealings since day one of this war.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to, if they want to whack somebody, that's the guy to whack, right? It's just like when they killed Chris Stevens, the ambassador in Libya. Think of all the secrets that man held.
Yes.
If he would have started talking, it would have brought down the Obama administration. It would have crashed it. Hillary Clinton knew that. Obama knew it. That's why they had the man killed. They can call it what they want. I don't care what they want. I call it murder.
And
that's where I come from, the way I was raised, that's murder.
So Benghazi, and it's interesting you mentioned that. There's a pattern going all the way back to Diem in Vietnam, okay?
Yes, sir.
But with respect to our own ambassador, Stevens, in Benghazi, it's interesting to see, if you go back to 2013, 2011, 2012, the lead up to the attack at the CIA compound in Benghazi, Libya. The major media reported, well, this was an attack at our embassy. First of all, it wasn't an embassy. Then they downgraded to a consulate. It wasn't a consulate. Then they said, well, our compound. It was a CIA friggin' compound, okay?
Yep.
I've talked about this. The attack happened on September 11th. The probes began in July. You had a number of things take place between July of that year through September 11th that culminated in that attack that we lost three fine soldiers, and of course Stevens. But having said all of that, we now, to your point, okay, now we find ourselves mired in this Ukrainian debacle, and Biden wants to throw in some more money and some more aid. Well, okay, now the intelligence community, do they have a different plan here? Because sometimes, hey, they're not on the same page. There's some odds. They're at odds at times. So let's go to segment A. This is Ben Harnwell with Steve Bannon, Ukraine foils an attempt on President Zelensky. But listen carefully, folks, and watch carefully. Listen carefully to what is said about the assassin. There are two clips. The second clip is really important, but the first clip kind of sets up the second. Go ahead and play clip segment A of clip one under Ukraine. Segment A, clip one.
The best and the brightest in Ukraine are being chewed up in the Charnel House. And finally, the field commander said, we're not doing this. You can't take us over to Poland for 90 days or 60 days or 30 days and train these kids and then throw them up there against the Russians who are dug in. It's a slaughter. And finally, the field commander said, we're having enough of it. And Zelensky, you should read Best and the Brightest. Hey, maybe it's the Russians. Who knows? Maybe it's your own guys. Maybe it's the CIA. Who knows? But Zelensky's wearing out his welcome, as his policy is, quite frankly, destroying Ukraine. And this is why it's got to stop, because all you're going to do is kill more Ukrainians. And you're killing the best ones, the best folks there, the patriotic ones, the ones that love their country and don't quite get that they're the tools of the globalists, as Mearsheimer told them. Professor Mearsheimer of Chicago called this straight out. What about this? Why is Zelensky go public now with the assassination attempt? Supposedly they've had 29 informants, for the Russians, outed over the last month. They said they've alluded to other assassination attempts. Why now are we hearing about this assassination attempt and they're making such a big deal about it, Ben Harnwell?
Well, Steve, this supposed assassination attempt is mysterious on a number of levels. Firstly, the lady concerned, whose name hasn't been revealed, apparently works in some kind of arms and munitions warehouse. She has some kind of military background. There's the possibility that she's ethnically Russian, but I wouldn't want to speculate that on that at this point. So there are two possibilities here, two principal ideas. The first, I just want to pick up on what you were just saying, that President Zelensky is wearing out his welcome. Well, he's not just wearing out his welcome as far as NATO is concerned and the American taxpaying public is concerned. One might reasonably guess he's also wearing out his welcome with Ukrainians, as you were saying. But let's not forget, he has himself suspended parliamentary elections set for this autumn and presidential elections set for next year. That sort of gives an idea that despite what the non-stop propaganda is that we receive here in the West about how beloved this man is in his own country, that might not actually be the deeper reality. You wouldn't need to suspend your own elections if you were second to Churchill.
By the way, I thought we were funding. I thought this was all about democracy. That was all about democracy. Doesn't sound like democracy. Hey, Lincoln fought a bloody civil war, still the bloodiest, nastiest fight we've ever had in our country, and had an election, had congressional elections, of which he didn't do too well, and then had a presidential election, which he won.
All right. That kind of set up this next clip. But Randy Taylor, any thoughts on how the Ukrainian cause is losing its luster? And we see that through, case in point, this assassination attempt. More we'll learn from segment B.
Go ahead. Ukrainians have watched this war just be dragged out, and they know deep down in their souls and in their hearts that Putin could crush them anytime he wants to. So they're wondering how long this bloodbath is going to go on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not. It's a bad thing. I mean, people in Ukraine are scared. Okay. Another thing that really torques me is the U.S. runs around and uses that word democracy.
Yes.
Democracy. It's a buzzword. They did it in Iraq. We're here for democracy. Really? Great job. You know, we're in Ukraine for democracy. Okay. It's never successful. It's a lie. You're not going to go into any third world Muslim country and install democracy. Okay. Whatever form of democracy they have in Iraq is a joke.
You mean Ukraine?
I'm saying Iraq and Ukraine too.
Ukraine. I got you. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just looking back, glancing back at this. That is a very dangerous word. When people start throwing that one around, boy, we're going to be getting into it. You know, and the thing is, It's not for democracy. If it was for democracy, it wouldn't be such a price tag. It wouldn't hurt as bad.
That's true.
You know, we know it's a lie, and I don't want to be part of a lie. I don't want to fund a lie. I don't want to be behind a lie. You know?
Okay. I want to move quickly here because I do want to get into Obama body count because I think that's important. But because there's fractures, we're watching for just as the show opened about. You know, there's hope here. I think more and more is being revealed here. 2023 being the year of certain revelations, I think that you can't put back in the bottle. But anyway, clip two. Now, Ben Hardwell came back later that day, I think it was yesterday, and talked a little bit more about the assassination. This is a longer clip, but it's extremely important, folks. Listen to this.
Clip where they go into more detail, but let's go with the Zelensky assassination plot. Why is it put out now? Is it to garner sympathy, empathy? Why is it put out now? They've clearly had other ones before. They're putting this out that they're blaming this on Russia. Do you think American security services may be involved?
This could be, I don't know what expression to use, this could be part of the CIA's early retirement program extended towards President Zelensky, who chose not to accept the invitation this time around, if I could use that specific euphemism. So there are two possibilities that would fall in under the track of this not being what it appears. And the first one is that this is just the CIA. And that's, you know, Steve, it might not be. There's every possibility that it's not the CIA. But we have been talking on this show now for 6 months about the possibility that there might be a rerun of the ditching, the CIA's ditching of President Diem in the Vietnam War. And this would certainly fill in with that profile. That's the first in the two track, not everything as it seems. That would be the first possibility. The second possibility, and we touched on this only slightly in the morning show today, is that this is from within Ukraine, because President Zelensky has cancelled the parliamentary elections in autumn and the presidential elections for the following spring. If he were the beloved second incarnation, the second coming of Winston Churchill, as the Western media are repeatedly informing us, then he'd have nothing to fear from the elections. In fact, why do the very thing that would prohibit Ukraine from joining the European Union? Because you can't join the European Union if you're not a democracy. Why do the very thing unnecessarily that would cross off the box of one of his chief foreign policy goals of his presidency? Obviously, the EU membership and NATO membership. Obviously, in NATO, you don't have to be a democracy to join NATO, but you do to join the EU. Why do that? Well, perhaps things aren't so good at home, and then this, as I say, we don't know what the nationality of this woman is. So this could be an internal Ukrainian manifestation of dissatisfaction. And then, of course, the third possibility would be, and this would be in the other track of everything being exactly what it seems, and this is simply a Russian, an additional Russian attempt to remove Zelensky. However, Steve, if you've seen the photos of this woman standing in the middle of two security officials, all their faces are pixelated out, her posture, and Just Google this as I'm talking, Warren Posse. Her posture is not someone of an assassin who's been arrested by the SBU and fearing for her life. She's sort of casually, just a couple of fingers, not handcuffed, casually one arm resting on the desk. It's not someone who has the bodily comportment of fearing for their life. The other thing that struck me as unusual is that if she's guilty of what she's been accused of doing, the sentence would be 12 years. Now, that's very strange. In a country like Ukraine, right back at the beginning of the war, Steve, you'll remember, Zelensky had made an admission that they were actually shooting deserters. So if this woman were actually involved in an assassination job against President Zelensky, it would be unusual, I would suspect, that all she'd be looking at is going to prison for 12 years and nothing more in the lines of what would be typically handed out in any country, right, including in the West, for this kind of treason. I invite the war room posse to get out there and do their research and form their own opinions.
Let me
on this.
Hang on, you can cut this here. And folks, again, Hagman PI, open the description box and you can watch the entirety of the clip. I even abbreviated abbreviated clip. So because I want to get through all of this, the fact is, this to me is an illusion. I think Ben Hardwell made some excellent points about this. Look, this could very well be a psyop to garner sympathy from the West to increase aid, which we don't have, and some other things, of course, but what's the end result here? It would be to cover for the crimes of the Bidens and all of the oligarchs all across the world, where it kind of is centered in the epicenter of this debauchery and criminality is Ukraine. What do you think, Randy Taylor?
Absolutely. We've got a lot of politicians that we haven't even named that are involved in Ukraine. They've got bank accounts over there. They're accepting bribes for whatever reason. That Mitt Romney, he's involved in it. I read a piece on that. Now he's got a son, some of this involved in. Every time we turn around, we find another U.S. politician with their hands in the Ukraine. I mean, folks, this is not about NATO and everything. That's not even it. We're in there covering up crimes. That's exactly what we're doing. It's like when we went in the First World War, and that some people that I knew at the time, and not First World War, the first Iraqi war, that we were there actually to try and retrieve retrieve chemical weapons that we had stored in Kuwait. That's what they were afraid of.
A lot of people don't know that.
That's not an everyday thing. Nobody talks about that. But I was told by somebody that I respect, and I know they know what they're talking about. And that's exactly what they said. We were storing illegal chemical weapons in Kuwait. And when Saddam went in, boom. That's why there was such a big push on Saddam having chemical weapons, because they were ours.
Okay.
Think about that.
We're
playing the same game in Ukraine.
Right, exactly. The biolabs, for example.
Yes. We are, man, when it's all said and done, if everybody had to fess up and everybody came clean, we are dirty, dirty, dirty. And if somebody's trying to whack Zelensky, I'll put more money on it that it's the CIA as opposed to KGB.
And I have to say, I agree with you on that. If, in fact, it's legitimate.
Exactly. Attempt, there you go.
I believe.
That's a good question, too, Doug. See, right now, he's a useful idiot to Russia.
Exactly. And by the way, I wouldn't just say CIA. I would go with the Five Eyes, but CIA heading that. Go ahead.
But he's useful to Russia.
Yeah.
They know how to handle him, how to control him, everything. Then why kill the guy? Why kill Zelensky? He is of no danger to Russia.
And especially with his agency, poll numbers going down, especially among NATO countries.
Yeah, sinking like a stone.
Yeah.
But I don't think NATO, the other thing is, we don't hesitate in the U.S. to lie to our partners. We do not hesitate. And that's how you get dragged into these things. And I'll tell you right now, our interests in Ukraine are not legitimate interests.
No.
They're illegal. And they're doing their best not to send U.S. troops over there, but somehow U.S. troops are going to get bloody. And who are you going to blame? The blame needs to sit right in Biden's lap. And Pelosi, all of them. All of them. They're all, I would.
100%. No, yeah.
It's sickening, Doug. It's sickening. Okay. I know that the U.S. troops get used for political purpose and all that. I was in the military. I know some of the deals we went on. It didn't have anything to do with democracy.
No.
We were bumping one drug dealer so another one could thrive.
And you know something about that, too. A lot of people don't know that our military and the intelligence communities would put markers in the cocaine ingredients, in the drug, I shouldn't say cocaine, in the drug ingredients to identify what cartel, what drug, the drugs from which cartel. So if that marker wasn't in the drugs, then they knew, hey, wait a second, we gotta put additional forces against the other cartel because their drugs are getting through.
And when you go to briefings and the people in there aren't even from your country and the mission's being described, and it's like, who are we working for?
Yeah.
You know, it's a cold, dirty world. And right now, the Ukraine is a real problem. It's going to get bigger. If they want Zelensky dead, he will end up dead. He may have broadcasted that just to draw attention to it because he's actually scared. But it won't do any good.
No, I totally agree with you on that. And that's where, as we look toward 20, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no, go ahead.
Because we need to push on and we're actually going into overdrive here. So as we look at the larger, especially since you had to drag, crawl out of the shower after falling down, I apologize.
That's all right.
But you didn't hit your head or nothing, did you?
I mean, no.
You're oriented as the time, date, place, right?
I'm still here, baby.
Yeah, okay, good. Just checking. You seem fine. Okay. So, although you're probably down there going, okay. So how can we tell? And this is what I was in prep for today's show. I was thinking, okay, how can we tell when things. Down in the lower part of events, when things aren't going well for the people who are implementing these global agendas, the 2030s, WEF, because we can talk ad nauseum about that. So we look at it from my investigative viewpoint, and I think from yours too. I know Eric the Tech is among other things too, he's a very talented investigator. Okay, I'm gonna have to give him a raise if I keep.
I wouldn't want him on my trail.
here's the thing, the thing. Okay, I use that phrase all the time. When you start kind of looking at the components of the bigger picture, where you see the cracks coming through, the more desperate the WEF. People are, the globalists are, the Bill Gates, all of the administrative state. You start to look at, okay, what are they doing? Where's their desperation showing? One of the biggest and the most obvious is, of course, the war, the deep state war against President Trump. So this happened, okay, and you know, okay, the indictments against President Trump, 600 and some years in prison if he's convicted. And, of course, the judge, you know, well, we'll get into that momentarily. But I want to show you page 3 from the show prep notes. Again, HagmanPI.com, open the program description box. President Trump reveals the dirty January 6th committee illegally destroyed their records and documents. Now he has full subpoena power. Folks, look at this. This is absolutely... If we did this on a local level, okay, where a prosecuting body would destroy all the evidence, including exculpatory evidence that was never shown, you wouldn't be in that position anymore. But these pieces of crap on this unselect committee, okay, from Liz Cheney to Raskin to whoever, okay, they purposely destroyed documents knowing that Smith, Jack Smith, that piece of work, his indictment did not include treason and sedition. Therefore, due process was permitted. So what do? They take a match to the documents, bada bing, it's gone. Or they take a hammer to the phones, or you know, bleach or take a cloth and wipe off the servers, right? Well, whatever. A la Hillary Clinton style. So that shows some desperation. But again, the deep state war against President Trump, this is video 2. This is Roger Stone, and I think this is extremely important as we talk about the desperation of the deep state. This is segment 1. This is, I believe this was from Eric Metaxas. Yeah, this is Eric Metaxas. We opened with it. We're going to show this segment 1. This lays out kind of where we're at with the deep state war against President Trump. And on the other side, Randy Taylor, RT at HagmanPI.com. If you want to communicate with him, send him some well wishes, support, whatever, RT at HagmanPI.com, because he does put in a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of research and analysis, and we appreciate him. But here is segment 1. It's just a little over 4 minutes. Please bear with me, but it sets the stage for this deep state war, this latest version thereof. Here it is.
Folks, welcome back. I warned you that I would have on the great Roger Stone, and here he is. Roger, welcome. It gives me joy just to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Eric, great to be with you. God bless you.
I know you're close to President Trump, and I mentioned to you that I was with him at the end of last week, and he strikes me as just shockingly unflappable. That's not even the word, unflappable. But I his spirits in the midst of this tremendous persecution are remarkable. This is an unprecedented kind of human being we have as the 45th president. And I'm glad to see that he's such a warrior, even amidst just the withering horrors of the persecution that he's been subjected to. But you know more about this by very far than I do. So where do you see us right now?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. I must say I traveled with him for 4 days, 2 weeks ago. And I was taken aback at how calm, determined, resolved, unflappable is an excellent description, good humored, easygoing. I mean, he is still, even today, a happy warrior. I would actually argue that Donald Trump is at his best in crisis. He's at his best when he's at war. I think that he is surprised because, as he has said, things like this aren't supposed to happen in America.
No.
Who locks up and tries to jail their political opponents? Well, let's see. Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Fidel Castro, Joe Biden. This isn't supposed to happen in America. And the crime that they have fabricated here is the expression of his First Amendment rights to question the outcome of an election, which without any question has a series of anomalies and irregularities, but he has the right to say that. And for them to actually convict him, as I understand it, because I'm not a lawyer, they have to prove his state of mind. They have to believe that he knew the election was lost, and then he conspired with others to hold on to power. I don't think that's even remotely accurate. Now, it is possible that some, like Bill Barr, who we now know based on a case that's still alive in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, knew that there was real substantial evidence of election fraud, but nonetheless told the president there wasn't. And the president rejected that view, told him, no, I don't agree with that. I don't believe that. So Mr. Barr cannot speak to Donald Trump's state of mind. Either can Vice President Pence or anyone else. So it is certainly possible that some in his circle may have told them that in their opinion, he had lost the election. I don't believe in his heart or his mind he ever believed that. And beyond that, he operated on the basis of advice from attorneys who make a case that there is a precedent for delaying the certification of the electoral votes and sending them back to the state legislatures for reappraisal. That's not seditious. That's not treason. That's, in their opinion, the law. Now, I'm not a lawyer, nor was I involved in that effort. I was barely aware of it. But I do think that it's a legitimate position. You notice everyone else who's been named as a co-defendant so far in the D.C. indictment is an attorney, presumably the very attorneys who told Donald Trump that his actions were perfectly legal.
Well, I was really horrified again this morning on Twitter. There was a clip of Mike Pence on Fox referring to Trump's gaggle, quote unquote, gaggle of crackpot lawyers. And I thought, you know, that's despicable, because the three people that I know who were Trump's lawyers during this time are honorable people. And the idea that Pence is now piling on in characterizing what happened then as seditious, as against the Constitution, constantly, you know, making this claim like, oh, if I have to choose between that, I choose the Constitution. Wow, what a hero you are, Mike.
There we go. Randy Taylor. Now,
yes, sir.
Without name dropping, of course, we have communication with a lot of people very close to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. The fact that the deep state is in such a frenzy to put him out to pasture any way possible, whether it be to kill him or just make sure he doesn't appear on the 24 docket, as kind of the insurance policy to go back to 2015, 2016 with Strzok and Page, those two love lost, love lorn individuals. Okay, which we took apart that in real time, back in that era. But what Roger Stone is saying is, look, Donald Trump is in this. He could be out playing golf, playing with his grandkids. He'd have the best life in the world. But he's chosen to do what he's doing, not out of some narcissistic tendency, but to really work for the American people. And I believe that to be the case. I believe that to be the case. If you don't, if the people don't, they believe what you want to believe. But man, you got how many people could, let me ask you, could you, or even me, I don't know if I could stand up to constantly this constant barrage against me. I mean, what do you think about this?
I think I would stand up against it. What makes that man strong is he loves this country and he loves the people. It's that simple. Okay. And he, you know, he's got his issues, whatever, who doesn't, you know, look at Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible, King Nebuchadnezzar. How many times did God use him? You know, you'd mentioned that earlier in the show, Doug. You know, a lot of times God chooses imperfect people, you know, to lead the way. And I believe in President Trump. I absolutely, and I see him. Is he unflappable? He is unflappable. The guy is incredible. His stamina, the way his mind works, that's what you need in a president. Anybody else would have folded. Biden, he'd have folded like puppy dog years ago. Anybody. No one could take this kind of heat. And all it's doing is making him stronger. My honest to God fear for President Trump is that they'll try and kill him. That's my honest to God fear. Two things the left needs to look out for, and mark my words, and the clowns that are listening that do, you know, want to find out something against us, listen to me. If they put Donald Trump in jail, or if they kill Donald Trump, it's the end of y'all. I'm just telling you, you cannot hold down that storm if you do anything like that to Donald Trump. So
I agree.
I'll be honest with you. I could see if they assassinated Donald Trump, this country going to a revolution. Well, a revolution like
what do you think about RFK too? I mean, the fact that Obama, Biden, or the Biden regime said, hey, we're not going to provide you with Secret Service protection. Of all the people on the planet, okay, a man whose father was assassinated his own father was assassinated, his uncle was assassinated. And they deny him Secret Service protection? I mean, shouldn't that tell him the Americans something about this corrupt piece of crap that we have supposedly in the Oval Office?
Yes, sir. That's absolutely wrong. And I, you know, Kennedy, like I said, everybody's got their flaws.
Look, I'm a fan of him. I mean, his politics, that is.
Well, in this case, we need that bull in the china shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, that's the only thing that's going to clean this mess up. And one of the first things once Trump's in, which I'll be honest with you, if he's still alive and breathing, he is going to be the president. Okay, but it's adamant. We have to have someone that's going to take charge. First thing he needs to do is make sure his term is lengthened by law. That he has the ability to come back for the second. You know what I'm saying? I think that 8-year limit should only go if you are in each time you're
consecutive.
Elected.
Yeah.
And that's what I honestly believe.
Well, let's get through the first four. You know,
I would love to see that. They're gonna turn around and try the same crap that they tried with them the first time around. And fortunately, we have a Congress where we have some decent people in there. There's going to be, I'll tell you right now, and I support him 100%. There's going to be a lot of people arrested.
I hope that to be the case. And
I hope so. And I think he's going to do it because he knows it needs to be done.
Okay.
That's from down here up to judges and even legislators if they have to.
Well, I was speaking again with Liz Harris, state rep or the state assembly person who was expelled after being elected in Arizona. She's coming on the show on Monday. But
awesome.
Okay, so I was speaking with her. In 2020, 2022, not over by a long shot in terms of the exposure and then the adjudication of and people might think, well, you know, it's gone. No. Hold that thought, because they're coming. We're coming after you. We are coming after you. And the deep state is scared crapless because of this.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why you're seeing all of this. That's why you're seeing Stone say, look, you know, Donald Trump is coming back. Now, segment two, by the way, on this, it just describes Bill Barr, the disappointment of Bill Barr. It's just about 2 minutes. We won't play that. Let's just go skip right to segment three. This kind of ends, and this ends the the segments taken out from the source video with Roger Stone from 10:21 through 14:05, 10:21 through 13:13, and then we'll pause, and then we'll finish this segment up with that. Go ahead.
Be trusted with the truth, but what you see now is a level of weaponization that shocks even me. And I've been in the D.C. killing field. So President Trump's lawyers announced that they will make a motion to recuse the judge. The judge and her husband and her mother-in-law, enormous donors to Barack Obama. In fact, they both she and her husband got their judicial appointments as a result of their massive contributions and fundraising for Barack Obama. The judge ruled against Donald Trump, withholding the Fusion GPS information that proved that the Russian collusion was all a hoax. She withheld that from Donald Trump and his lawyers in a previous case. She has an obvious bias. But when you move to recuse a judge, you know who makes that decision? The judge makes that decision. So she will not recuse herself. Now, Trump's lawyers can appeal that to the circuit. The circuit will uphold her. The circuit never, ever overrules any of the judges in the circuit. I know. I went through this. I was unconstitutionally gagged prior to my trial. When I appealed that gag, the circuit court, the appeals court, sat on my appeal for 8 months. It's a simple First Amendment question. Either they can or cannot gag you. The argument that my being allowed to defend myself in any public forum, including social media, might taint the jury pool does not trump my First Amendment right to free speech. It's a really simple case. But instead, they sat on it and then they rejected it, saying that I had to first ask the trial judge to remove the gag order, which she had put in place, which would never have happened. It's a rotten, corrupted system. And here's the real shocker, Eric. Judge Amy Berman Jackson, Judge Moss, Judge Boasberg, you remember him. He was on the FISA court when they approved the phony FISA warrants to spy on Donald Trump. They all were sitting in the back room of the courtroom during the arraignment of Donald Trump, essentially licking their chops. Completely inappropriate, I might not add. So the president will move to recuse the judge. She will reject that motion. Then I guess he will appeal it. We'll see what happens, as he would say. Then the president will move for a change of venue to, say, West Virginia or even Virginia. That will be denied. This is the killing field. Here's what I learned the hard way in D.C. The Constitution, the law, the rules, the evidence, the facts, none of these things matter in the most highly politicized court in the country.
And there
what
it is.
Are we going to do?
Okay. That was a pause, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there it is. This all goes back to the same players who were attempting to keep him out of the White House. Now, prosecuting him, the same judges, the same lawyers, the same group of people Randy Taylor, that's the way it is, and including the people that were on Trump's team. We'll just finish it up, and then we'll go right back to you. Let's continue this. This is, to me, I guess the more important part of this from here to 1405. Go ahead.
Do in the long run, Roger. I mean, I still believe that by the grace of God, apart from that, forget it. But by the grace of God, Trump will be the next president. I think that I actually said this to him the other day when I had the privilege of talking to him, that I think these things are happening. God is allowing these things to wake up those in America who can be awakened. There are people who are seeing these things who ordinarily wouldn't have an opinion. They probably didn't vote for him, but they're saying this does not seem right. There are people, decent people around this country who I think are waking up. And so I have a genuine hope that this country can yet be saved from these malefactors, these monsters, these globalist elites. We've got a break. We'll be right back. More with Roger Stone.
So he's conveying hope that, mm-hmm. that we can overcome all of this. Your thoughts?
I agree with him. Okay. I'm always hopeful for this country, and that's because I believe in God. There's weird things have happened. This is not the first crisis that the United States has been in.
No.
You know, it's not. We will prevail. And I'm going to tell you right now, take my word on it, if they put that man in jail or they kill him, there will be a war and everything will be straightened up. They're playing on deadly ground right now, and they need to pay attention, because we're not bullshitting with these people. I draw the line on that. I'm sorry. I draw the line on it. I'm old and stupid, but you don't stick an innocent man in jail. Period. And this is nothing but political persecution. That's all this is. These charges, every time they bring them up, you look at them and you go, "What in the hell are they talking about?"
Do you think more people are waking up in America?
Yes. Here's the sad part, Doug. The sad part is the lefties that are jumping up and down for joy, like in social media and all about Trump's going to jail and more indictments and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Remember it when we're in charge. Remember that. But here's the thing. Trump will do it right. He'll do it legal and he'll do it right. But for someone to cheer what is going on right now shows absolute bias, that shows that they don't understand the system, or that they're absolutely willing to screw someone, you know what I mean, over a party. And because if you're on the left and they're able to do this to an ex-president, and you're on the left and you make a mistake, remember, if they did it to him, they could do it to you.
They are doing it to us.
Two-tiered. I'm talking to somebody on the left.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Because when a two-tiered justice system gets into place, and that's the play, the victims are untold. I mean, it's just amazing what's going to happen. You know, I hope he's the next president, and I hope he cleans house. He has to clean house. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm talking breakneck. You talk about warp speed. He likes that word. That's what you're going to need. You better come to the office with a list of people that should be indicted, arrested, and indicted. You know what I'm saying? Plain and simple.
You know, again, there are people out there who say, well, Trump sold us out with the shots. Okay, whatever. But
he was operating with what knowledge he had. And who could comprehend in their brain? Remember, he's not a politician.
Right.
Who could comprehend in their normal brain that the shots were wrong? I mean, he's supposed to have the best of the best talking to him,
right,
and advising him. You know what I'm saying? So that's a moot point with me.
Well, the issue, I think, the bigger issue is once he learned the truth and see, we assume that he's seeing figures like from Ed Dowd and others who are saying, look at this excess mortality.
It'll be the end of the shots if Trump gets in office.
Okay. I have a tendency to believe that for other reasons, and that has to do with some things, some people I've been talking to, because my questions have been very, very pointed about that. And so, yeah. But you know what? I believe now, what would happen, and we're not going to have enough time to get into the Obama body count. Folks, let me just say this. We've got another 6 minutes with Randy Taylor. The Obama body count is important because it does show fractures, I believe, in the operations of the deep state. And if you believe that Obama is behind Biden, then the death of that the chef who followed him from the White House to his house in Edgartown, or Matt, wherever, then I think you're going to, when you have an Olympic swimmer die in like 3 feet of water from drowning, yeah, that's a problem. So we're going to be getting into that, digging deep into that, because I think that plays into the bigger picture here.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to kind of hold that for another program. But Randy Taylor, what would happen? Okay, we talk as if, or we're talking, okay, if something happens to President Trump between now and 2024, assuming we have elections in 2024, then what would happen if he gets in 2024 to the groups like Antifa, BLM, which is on life support, if it's still even a thing, and the Soros-funded and backed, and the Gates backed.
Hey, you know what? He's gonna need to be briefed on. You know, the first time he went into the presidency, nobody really briefed him on Department of Dirty Tricks. You know, he needs guys like you and I around him that cannot be bought. There's no price. We don't have a price tag. You and I, Doug, we've never had one. And he needs people like that around him. I guarantee, if we were anywhere near the man and we had any authority whatsoever, this crap wouldn't happen to him. We would have cut it off at the pass.
I know from Roger Stone that I can tell you this from Roger Stone. Okay. He is putting together a close-knit group of people, okay, that will make sure. Now, whether it's from his chief of staff, you know, downward, to make sure that he does not get embroiled in the selection process of people who will stab him in the back. Yep. Now, whether he's successful at that, I don't know. I mean,
I think he will be. I think this time around, it's one thing, the man loves his country and he loves the people. They're not after Donald Trump. They're after us, because exactly. Donald Trump represents us, the real people, the patriots, the people that want the best for the country, not the worst for the country. No person can call themselves a patriot if they're okay with a penis being wagged in their kid's face at school. Do not come to me and say, well, I'm an American patriot. I'll beat the crap out of you. You are not a patriot. You're a pig.
And folks, he will too.
Look, Doug and I, we're getting to be old men, okay? Don't screw with us. So I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Hey, we got a couple minutes left, folks.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. Remember, you're helping out the Hagman Coffee. These are beans. This is not ground up coffee. And I've got to tell you, these are some of the richest beans I've ever tasted. You notice me sipping out of my American cup there, my all-American flag cup. What do you think's in it? It's a good coffee, ladies and gentlemen. And you're helping the show, and you're also helping children. And you know what's going on to children in this world? They're being trafficked. They're being murdered. And the government's okay with it. We got to put an end to that. And that's another thing that Donald Trump is against, is anything that hurts children. That's, you know, right. What? Then you're my man. You're my man. You got your flaws. Yeah. I don't care. We'll get around the flaws. God loves you. He loves us. I think Donald Trump is anointed by God. And I'm not being funny. I just believe he's going to be the next president, and they're going to try and kill him. I think he's going to survive whatever happens. There's something about this man.
And they're playing whack-a-mole with him, man, and I believe he'll survive. Yeah.
And who in their right mind would come back for this abuse? This man he doesn't duck. He jumps right into it and hits it head on. That's my kind of guy. Anybody else that duck and run. You don't duck and run.
Yeah, and you know, at the risk of this sounding like a rally for Donald Trump, no, this is a... In my view, Randy Taylor, this is a push toward restoring our republic.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's what this is.
All right. And once we restore the republic, then we have a chance of restoring the world.
Amen to
that. Clean it up, because everybody in the world is looking at us and praying that we survive. All over, we get emails all the time around the world. Yep. People are praying that the United States survives, and they tell us, please don't give up your guns. Please don't. You're the last hope for the world. That's a big responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, and you're part of it. That's what's cool.
Yeah, it may come in handy with the CBDC that's breathing down our neck, and everything else is coming toward us, including the southern border. Randy Taylor, thank you so much for joining me, and you added
a lot. Absolutely. Hope to see you again soon, buddy.
Yes, yes. We'll talk and nurse the wounds.
I always did.
All right. Folks, God bless. Thank you so much for tuning in.